The European debt crisis gets worse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Now the global perspective, when we take a look at what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Portugal is the latest country to have its debt downgraded. That follows on the heels of debt downgrades for both Hungary and Ireland. And now the cost of insuring against a default by the Greek government has soared to an all-time high. That following a newspaper story saying Greece will try to renegotiate its debt by 2013. Our European business correspondent Stephen Beard joins us live now to talk about this. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
What has the newspaper been saying?
That the Greek government's looking at a plan to renegotiate the interest rates on some of the money it's borrowed and postpone repayment of some of the loans. It's called rescheduling, restructuring. It's default by another name, and would be the first time since the Second World War that a developed European country has defaulted. The Greek government, we should say, has denied the story.
I thought Greece had been bailed out, that it didn't need to renegotiate.
Well, it's been bailed out by the European Union and the IMF until 2013, so it doesn't have to go to the market to borrow until then. But the bailout expires then, and Stephen Lewis of Monument Security says that's when the trouble will begin.
There's not a lot of confidence that the hard-pressed countries will be in any better position to service their debt in 3 years' time than they are at present.
And there's a bigger and more immediate problem of contagion. The question, will this now affect this lack of confidence? Will this affect other heavily indebted countries in the Eurozone that haven't been bailed out, like Spain? Spain has to borrow $400 billion next year. If investors get nervous and refuse to lend, Spain will need bailing out, and that would put the whole Euro project under unprecedented pressure.
Stephen Beard in London. Happy holidays, Stephen.
Yes, and you, Stacey.
The West African state of Ivory Coast is still without a new president. The old president, Laurent Gbagbo, has refused to leave office despite losing the election almost a month ago. Now he won't have access to the country's bank account. The Central Bank of West African States decided to recognize his opponent. Meanwhile, foreign companies are pulling out, and there are fears the Ivory Coast could return to civil war. The BBC's Pauline Bax joins us now from Abidjan. Good morning, Pauline.
Good morning.
So set the scene for us, if you will. How is this affecting the local economy in the Ivory Coast?
Well, life has become very difficult for regular people, for normal Ivorians, because of a lot of transport problems and because of the crisis, food prices have gone up. So people who want to make their Christmas dinner tonight, you know, are struggling to buy meat and tomatoes, even simple things such as rice or cooking oil. Prices have doubled for some food items, and it really makes life quite stressful, apart from the fact that there's a very heavy military presence on the streets.
You mentioned food prices are rising, and I know the Ivory Coast is a top cocoa exporter. How is this expected to affect the cocoa market?
Well, the export of cocoa beans has slowed down significantly. The authorities maintain that they really have no problem shipping out the cocoa to the West, but it's been really quite slow. And a lot of farmers have lots of cocoa beans in their homes, in their huts, in the interior of the country, but I find it very difficult to sell it and to ship it to the ports.
Pauline Bax is a reporter in Abidjan. Pauline, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
You're most welcome. Have a nice weekend.
Investors in the U.S. and Europe have seen the biggest December gains in more than a decade. Not that you'd know it from this morning's markets. Tokyo's Nikkei Index fell 0.2%. London's FTSE is off 0.25%. U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.1% to close at 11,573.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
There are all sorts of payday lenders who will give you in advance against your paycheck or your tax returns. for a small fee. Now there are businesses willing to take a gamble on the outcome of your personal injury lawsuit. But those settlement advance companies are now being sued by the state of Colorado. Colorado Public Radio's Megan Verley reports.
Were you recently injured in an accident? Do you need cash fast?
These companies work by evaluating lawsuits. If the case looks strong enough, they pay out against the expected winnings.
They advanced me the money I needed so I could pay my bills, and they worked out all the details with my attorney.
Here's the question. Is that a loan? If you lose your lawsuit, you don't owe anything. Winners, though, have to pay back the money plus a hefty fee. Colorado's Attorney General John Southers is suing companies over their charges, which, if you look at them as annual interest rates, run as high as 200%.
Companies are taking the position with us that it's not a loan because if the individual doesn't recover in their lawsuit, then they won't have to pay it back. And we believe these are loans because they sound like a loan, look like a loan, and smell like a loan.
If these are loans, the fees violate Colorado's interest rate limits. People in the business say they have to charge high fees to cover all the times they back a losing case, which is what the industry will argue in their own legal battle with Colorado. In Denver, I'm Megan Verlee for Marketplace.
And finally, a seasonal inflation indicator found the 12 days of Christmas are getting pricey. PNC Wealth Management's annual 12 days index found everybody's favorite true love slash sugar daddy will be shelling out more than $23,000 for his 12 gifts this year. That's a 9% price jump over last year and the second largest price jump in more than 25 years. Those five golden rings didn't help, 30% more expensive than last year, around $650. Also soaring, French hens and turtle doves. The hens more than doubled in price. Turtle doves were up 80% to $100. Some prices did stay flat. The eight maids and milking didn't budge. They make minimum wage, and that hasn't changed since last year. Need an escape from family time? You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at S. Vanek Smith, and I promise I won't ask you if you've gained weight or why you're not married. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The gift card. Oh, so practical, but is it soulless? Does it just miss the point?
It has totally undermined the entire purpose of exchanging presents.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the politics of gift giving and the numbers for the 12 days of Christmas as well. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.